All right. Hi, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to Corrupted Data. This is a shit show of a podcast as we're only on episode 2. But with me tonight, I have my friend Kiwi.
Hello, everybody.
And my friend Sean.
I'm Sean.
Wonderful, guys. Your charisma is outstanding.
That's the podcast that I did years ago. At this point years ago. That was always like I'm Sean. Like that was just my intro. Like it was the dumbest thing ever.
That'll get confusing if I also start in with I'm Sean.
Which one's Sean?
I think we need a different catchphrase. That's not going to work for me.
Here's Kiwi. I'm Sean. And then my friend Sean. I'm Sean. What?
Minsk from Baldur's Gate 2 has more charisma than you, Sean.
Not surprising.
He also has a giant dwarf space hamster.
He's got the pet hamster that hides in his armor. Yes, what of it?
Mm-hmm. His name's Boo.
Go for the eyes.
Go for the eyes, Boo.
Oh, that's our grandpa gaming coming out. Sorry.
Oh.
We were told we're not allowed to do that.
Second edition.
We were told we're not allowed to do that anymore.
Second edition AD&D. Calculating Thaco on a slide rule.
I did not say we were not allowed to do that. I just think we probably shouldn't focus on it. It's going to come out. All three of us are going to have those things where we just get into that, you know, back in my day, you know, the mouse ball had to be cleaned off every once in a while.
Why's it got too like, much lint?
Back in my day, mice had balls where their lasers were.
Back in my day.
Mice with laser balls, man. Mice with laser balls.
Laser balls.
Laser balls. That's my burlesque name.
Mine's fatty and delicious.
That's just an accurate description of you, though.
It's both.
Is it? No, it's like an N, right? Not just and?
Yeah, yes. It's the letter N, yes.
An apostrophe. Delicious.
It's my boylesque name.
Burlesque.
Burlesque, yeah.
Barely.
There's no boy about you.
There never will be. Aw.
Oh, okay.
I made myself sad.
Sean, why don't you kick us off with one of your stories that you've been researching?
Okay, well, speaking of the old man on the yard on the lawn thing, because this is absolutely going to set that up. Bethesda, in their infinite wisdom, is planning on fixing Fallout 76 by selling repair kits for real money. Now, if you're unfamiliar with how, like, weapon degradation and whatnot works in the game, because it is absolutely a thing. If you use a weapon or an item too much, it will degrade and you have to mine resources, you know, metal, wood, whatever, to fix those items. Well, they've decided that they're going to double down on their shitty ideas and just sell you repair kits for your items. What the fuck, Todd Howard?
That's going to fix the game.
That's absolutely...
I mean, can you apply the repair kit to the game itself? Is that the plan?
Can you buy the mod kit? Is that what it is?
Listen, we're only like 6 months in. The modders have not gotten the time to fix the game yet, because that's what they rely on. Like,
yeah, Nexus Hub, that's their full-time job.
Yeah. Oh my god, it's just, it's...
Like...
Yeah, their announcement says that the repair kits will let players fix their Bethesda's announcement says that the repair kits will let players fix their get anytime anywhere without using crafting materials.
There's a word.
I think they meant gear.
Gear.
I think it let players fix their gear anytime anywhere without using crafting
materials. What is this news source you're citing that doesn't spell check or anything?
I'm not gonna say exactly how bad Kotaku's spell check is sometimes. That would be wrong.
Yeah, but I like their content.
I know, I love their content.
They have a lot of it. I mean, to be fair, it's all peer reviewed.
No, and it's all pretty good stuff. But yeah, it's just shit happens. You know, when you put that much stuff out, things are gonna screw up. But yeah, they haven't repaired how much the kit repair cuts will cost, but appear to suggest they might only be the first in a long line of other utility items to come to the Atom shop. Can I return three separate physical copies of Fallout 76 at this point? Because I've got the helmet. I'm gonna send a horse head in the helmet to Todd Howard at this point.
They're actually going to sell horse heads through the Adam store that you can send to Todd Howard directly.
Take my money.
There was one guy who got a bunch of bottle caps together, and then he sent them to Todd Howard.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Right, because of the weight. I was talking about how...
Oh, that was... it wasn't bottle... It was hairpins.
Yeah, bobby hairpins. That was actually recent, too. Someone sent a box of hairpins to Bethesda and said, "Wait," with a note that said, "Weigh this."
Right. A bobby pin is not a tenth of a pound.
No, it isn't. Yeah, I was walking around with 10 pounds of... what was it? No, I was... Yeah, I was walking around with 10 pounds of bobby pins. I had 100 bobby pins. I'm not even kidding. Each 10 of them weighed a pound.
Yeah.
Like... Yeah, I'm like, God damn it. All right, moving on. Let's
fucking Todd Howard.
Before we all get really sad.
10 bobby pins. I'm already sad. Pound.
You know what? I'll take my refund in bottle caps if that's what they're offering.
We can make a table.
I'm probably going to get my refund in a not nylon bag eventually.
With Todd Howard's face.
Is the nylon is the bag made out of Todd Howard's face? Because then
I'd pay for that. Fuck that guy.
Oh my god. Anyway, yeah. So what do you guys got? What is interesting to you this week?
Well, I was looking on The Verge, and I found this interesting story of how Amazon is going to destroy the world by becoming Skynet. Because it's going to launch thousands of satellites to provide internet around the world. And if it were any other company, I'd be okay with that. Because really, Jeff Bezos, with 12,000 interconnected satellites orbiting the planet, sounds like the first move in taking over the world. And he has most of the money. So that's terrifying to me.
Well, let me just verify something, because you say any other company. Are you talking about Zuckerberg? Would you be okay with that? Doing that exact thing?
I mean, at least they're a communication company.
I mean, they're trying too. They just submitted plans for some. I'd have to look it up, but they're basically running a high power network cable along the outside of, I mean, it's more technical than that, but they're trying to bring high speed internet to more remote parts of Africa. And essentially part of what they're doing is they're just running high bandwidth cable line along the coast, if I remember correctly. I'd have to check the sources on that. I only just kind of recently heard about that, I think sometime earlier today. And I don't have the article in front of me, so I could be like 50% wrong.
I mean, it's bad enough that there's literally a Cyberdyne Systems that exists in Japan. Yeah,
there's a Skynet in China.
Yeah.
And I believe they make some sort of HAL product. I'm not even kidding. Mm-hmm. Someone did an interview with the guys who own it, and they're like, oh yeah, no, this is totally like tongue. It's like the guys who run Soylent. It's like, no, right. of course we made that fucking joke. Like,
yeah, but like Cyberdyne, it's a legitimate Japanese company that works in robotics.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy robotic legs from Cyberdyne right now.
Sign me the fuck up. Get me out of this meat prison.
Mm-hmm.
I want Cyberdyne.
This is, oh yeah, Cyberdyne's the one that has HAL products.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
So you can literally buy robot legs. Yeah. What's next? Because I want to know.
Mm-hmm. I want to be a beta tester. So that's what I want. What's next? Just sign me up. I'm all in.
We're going to get the Deus Ex Mankind Divided.
Yep. Give me those elbow swords. I want elbow swords.
And just another new, different type of racism.
Ugh. Is it new?
No.
I mean, we aren't racist towards androids yet.
There's someone a few years ago, I want to say 2014, 2015. He's a pioneer in wearable technology. And actually had something the equivalent, like a custom built Google Glass, like of the kind of the thing that he is the the designer of, that he had literally bolted to his skull. I'm not even kidding. There's like subdermal. Like,
oh, I remember points. This dude.
Yeah. He got attacked in like a French McDonald's or something, and they tried to pull it off his face. And I think it's actually going to court now or just recently, and they are calling it a type of hate crime. And I think that's, you know, without getting too deep into any of this sort of, you know, this sort of thing, but I think that's kind of right. It's when it comes down to it, they were attacking him for no reason other than he was different.
Right. Yeah. You know? Which is kind of the point.
That's how the hate crimes work.
Although I will say, we have to be careful, or robots will actually take over. Because if I've learned anything from playing Overwatch, it's that the robots cannot be trusted, because they are literally walking guns, when you think about it.
I don't know. I mean, AI is so far off from all of that now.
I've never watched it.
Artificial intelligence just does a concept in the world right now.
I meant the movie.
You're talking about the Haley Joel Osment movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't.
I mean, it's
there was getting so much opportunity to play in that space, and we got nothing out of it.
I didn't even catch the reference. It was just right over my head.
Well, now I'm sad.
I'm the worst with movies. That's my crippling flaw. One of.
There you go.
No, what I was going to say is that with like AI and all that stuff, like even though yes, there's a giant internet connected nonsense going up there, all of the artificial intelligence that's going on right now is all lackluster.
It's still very early stages.
And there's different types of it, too, because what we're not exploring right now are things like knowledge representation or like truly. I mean, the Turing test is a game and has proved to be flawed, but like, what about, I butcher this every time, and I'm probably, for our listeners, please forgive me. I think it's the Wendigo schema. Not able to solve problems. Like, if I asked you a couple questions of a sentence, and I changed them only by switching one word, would you get them? So, for example, if I were to say, hey, so I flew to this award center, and I won a trophy, but I can't fit it into my suitcase because it is too small. The question being, what is too small? And you or I would be able to kind of come up with the answer, which is being, the suitcase is too small to fit the trophy. Because we know things about trophies. We know things about why we want trophies, why we'd want to fly trophies. And like, the list goes on and on and on. And then if I switch that sentence, like, well, I couldn't fit my trophy into the suitcase because it was too big. What was too big? That same sentence now becomes the focus of being the trophy. And a simple problem like that isn't really solvable. At best, it's slightly better than random is what we've got going on in any and all of our artificial intelligence.
I mean, I think that's part of that comes down to just some of like the unconscious rules of language. Like, I was reading something not too long ago about like in English, things like large and brown, like when you're describing a thing, there's a certain subconscious order to, you know, oh, the large brown cat, because if you say the brown large cat, it sounds weird.
Yeah. It's like, it's not a rule. It's, I read this article too.
Yeah.
It's, the linguistic turns of logic and how the words have to connect in that specific order.
Right. And until we can accurately, because there are people that have done that for years and didn't realize it was a thing. Mm-hmm. And until we can impart that sort of knowledge and the criteria in which that they would use that knowledge, AI is still going to have those same sorts of problems. Side note, the Wendigo schema I think you were talking about and the Turing test, I'm pretty sure I would fail both.
Well, aren't you dyslexic?
I've got dyslexia, dyscalculia, and some undetermined amount of brain damage from the four times I've been dead.
I mean,
so
the test was designed, and what they had stated is that it would have to have been a person, a neurotypical individual, of a certain descent and things like that. So, like, you know, mm-hmm. obviously the test is limited to that. We're trying to take, like, the average person. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, there are outliers or people have certain difficulties answering the questions. But also, like, that's just one question out of however many. Would you fail all of them? Probably not. You'd probably do better than the machine.
I mean, you've spoken to me. Spoken to me for more than 5 minutes. I'm unsure of this.
There's also a series of, I think it was BBC did a whole series of documentaries on experiential stimuli and like how we experience the world and how we see the world, how we perceive the world, how we understand the world, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And
oh yeah, that varies from person to person. Let alone
it varies person to person, but it also varies by their primary mode of sensory input. So for most people, that's visual. So visual stimuli is overwhelmingly how we experience the world because you see way more than you like taste or touch or smell. You see everything in front of you, or some facsimile of everything in front of you, depending on your level of vision.
Mm-hmm.
So people who have never had a sense of sight experience the world in a very different way. So they do studies on people who, like, through either medical or surgical means, developed vision later in life after us, like... I think it's like 15 or 16 years old once you're like start to become fully developed in how your brain is sort of connected up.
Yeah.
Which means that they've already developed the neural pathways that connect information to stimuli. So if you showed them a picture, they have lived in the same world as you. They know what a chair is. They've sat in chairs. But they wouldn't be able to see a picture of a chair and know that it's a chair until you took them to a chair and had them touch it. And then once they touch the chair, they'll know, oh, that's a chair, because I've touched a chair. That's my understanding of a chair. And then their brain will start to connect up a picture of a chair with the thing that they understand is a chair. It's like when you're teaching a child what an apple is, and at the same time you're teaching them what round is, and what red mm-hmm. is, and what sweet is, because all of those things are apple.
Right.
And every single one of them is a different experience of the apple. Like you're doing brain scans of people to see how their brain is actually processing the information. Somebody who does not have a sense of sight still processes a 3D representation of an object with the same part of their brain that you would perceive a three-dimensional object with.
Okay.
But it's not just from different visual stimuli. It's their own internal understanding of it. They're creating basically a projection of it in their head that they are, quote, seeing, that sort of thing. So you teach your brain as you go along, which I'm guessing works the same way as if you were to try to teach an artificial intelligence what the color red is versus how the color red makes people feel. You know, it's over time, like the neuro, the neurocomputing stuff where they're teaching AIs to do like, moving from like randomly generated sets of things and they're inputting mm-hmm. data to like produce a specific set of outputs.
Right.
And it's all learning behavior. So once they start getting that data set down to like esoteric things rather than like hard data to say like sad, tell a computer sad. There's no sad computer. That's not a thing. But you could teach it because a child doesn't know sad. It feels sad. But it doesn't have a word for sad until you teach it sad.
Right. All we've got is a set of AI that is really good at doing math right now.
Yeah.
That's about.
And I can't wait till our robotic overlords take over the world and I won't have to pay rent anymore.
You live in a people zoo.
I already live in a people zoo. It's called New York City.
I know, but it's a people zoo where there's a feeding time.
Yeah, it's called lunch.
No, I meant... You know what? Fine. No people zoo for you.
Ah, people zoo.
Well, it's okay. Well, we took a real, like,
it took like a side, like just a side street on that one.
Yeah.
Just completely. I mean, we never said this was going to be exclusively a gaming podcast. Sure. That has historically in the episode and a half we've gotten through at this point been the majority of what we talk about. But sure. We all have a varying range of knowledge, experience, and interests. And that is burgeoning AI is certainly one of them.
Absolutely. I will talk about that all the time.
Well, so we were just talking about artificial intelligence. Let's talk about limited intelligence. Epic Game Store. I know.
Very smooth segue. I appreciate that.
You wanted to bring that one up. You wanted to talk. We wanted to touch on this one just slightly.
The Epic Game Store. I think, what did I? I sent a meme to the group chat earlier, just comparing the functionality between the Epic Game Store.
Yeah, I saw that. There were a couple of things in there that was not completely accurate. Like, from what I understand, the Epic Game Store does have regional pricing to an extent, because someone was saying that I forget what country they were in, but they got like Metro Exodus for like $15, and a couple other people had confirmed that. And some of the stuff I remember seeing were things that really, I mean, personal opinion, don't really add value. Like, I don't care about the trading card system. Like, I just don't care. But, you know, friends lists, the things I care about are communications lists, friends lists, wish lists, the ability to buy and gift items for my friends, see what they have on their wish list. I mean, this is basic functionality as far as I'm concerned in 2019 for any online gaming store, and they just don't have any of that.
If they want to compete, like they say they want to do, they're like, we want to compete. And it's like they just come by and throw daddy's money around. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the fact that they don't have third-party keys or even two-factor authentication is kind of laughable at this point.
Yeah, they are not a real secure storefront right now. That is a little scary. I don't think, in all honesty, I've spent a single dime. No, that's not correct. I did. I'm going to do the walk of shame here. I bought Fortnite. I bought like the $50 pack of it like a year and a half ago when it originally came out. Mm. Because I was doing it on Twitch, and I was doing it, you know, I was playing it a little bit. And I wanted to get some of the extra stuff, just get it up front, get the cost out of the way, because it came with some of the stuff, and then I didn't have to worry about it.
I also own Fortnite single player, which is a lie, because there's no such thing as Fortnite single player.
No. Well, it's like Titanfall single player. If you remember Titanfall...
I've never played Titanfall.
Oh, it's Apex Legends is set in the same universe, but without the Titans. So anyway, Titanfall was a game that I was really super hyped about. It was a combat, first person shooter combat with mechs in this sort of alternate universe, and it was really good. But it was online multiplayer, online competitive only, and there wasn't really. They said there was a story, but the story was you played a certain amount of maps in a specific order. But I'm sorry, that's not a fucking story. They fixed it with Titanfall 2. They came out with an actual first player, like single player, storyline, and I bought that and I loved it. I haven't got a chance to fully finish it yet, but it is a game that I absolutely want to go back to and play at some point. But then they nerfed some of the multiplayer, and this just gets into sometimes companies can't focus, like they just don't have the resources or the technical ability or what have you. Sometimes it's just time to get both of those things balance the way people want, because some people absolutely would choose Titanfall 1 over Titanfall 2. I prefer Titanfall 2 because I liked the single player story.
Right. I on the topic of Epic Games, I remember when Unreal Tournament came out and they were putting it out as like this supposed to be competing with Quake 3, I guess, as like the go-to FPS multiplayer option.
Yeah.
And then the subsequent like three quote annual releases of like Madden style Unreal Tournament games. And I remember very fondly the single player quote campaign, which wasn't a campaign. It was just here, play harder robots. And I loved it. It was absolutely fantastic. And then they came out with Unreal 3, which was weird and like super goth gritty unnecessary storyline, and it just really killed the series for me. So I would say that Epic Games building a single player campaign is not necessarily better for their games. It just doesn't work. They're not good at it.
It just needs... I'm really kind of tired, though, of all the games, because everyone's trying to build this multiplayer game that people are going to continue to play and then continue to drive up sales, like become the next Call of Duty, you know? Or at this point, become the next Fortnite, rather.
Ugh.
I know. And there's just... I think I said it last podcast. I think I'll say it again. We've lost the art of the single player game, which is really, really important. I think it's important to the art form. It's important to, like, my experience growing up playing games. That's why I'm actually really, really excited for Respawn's Star Wars game that's getting revealed this week. Know nothing about it except that at the time of recording this week, they're revealing their third-person action Star Wars game. And I think that some of the guys from Titanfall are on that, actually, speaking of which.
Oh, from Respawn Games?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so there was one of the articles that was, like, interested to see how that is going to make lightsaber duels feel, given, like, the punchy feeling of Titanfall. And apparently Titanfall has been heralded as, like, one of the best multiplayer shooters, but I guess it just never really launched.
Yeah, it felt the combat for the little bit I played felt like a chunky, like a good kind of chunky. Like it felt substantial. It felt like good. Like the feedback I got from it while playing it was pleasing. I don't know how to describe that feeling, if you know what I mean, but if you've ever played like a game and you have combat and you just, it doesn't feel like anything's happening. This had some weight to it. That's unfortunately, I don't have any other words for those things other than chunky, substantial, and weight. A way to just describe me. Damn.
Just like the feel of you in my hand.
Don't be so hard on yourself. There's a market for you yet.
I can say that I know exactly what you're talking about because it's the difference between playing Overwatch and playing Team Fortress 2.
Yes, exactly. That sort of thing. It's just,
the guns don't do anything. It's just, you press the button and then, like, someone takes damage. Yeah. Versus in Overwatch, like, the screen slightly moves, the sound's better, the feel of it is better. Like,
punches.
It does, like, obviously, it's not, like, reacting on my mouse when I'm using it, but, like.
Yeah, no, you're not getting, like, force feedback or anything, but, yeah, like, there but are. It feels there is,
satisfying.
There is a stimuli there that I'm having a problem, like, it's. It's not like a kinesthetic thing, although it could be, because that's a whole other thing we didn't get into. But yeah, no, it's just one of those things where, like, when you play a game and the combat feels good and it feels put together, that's kind of what I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, Respawn, like the Titanfall games absolutely had that. I mean, at least for me, it was good, solid combat. And the fact that they're going to be working on what was the one? There was a... I may even the last LucasArts. I don't remember, but you know, they were doing a Mandalorian based game. It was something 13.
Yes, no, I remember this. It was the one that died in pre-production.
Yes, yeah, it wouldn't. I would be excited to see if it's something along those lines.
So this is the game we're talking about, is Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
Yeah, so I think it's like. Another one of those.
So then, no, it isn't.
Yeah, it's not. It's Jedi. It's, they got the title. So it's Jedi Knight, essentially, I think.
Yeah.
Which I'm okay with. I freaking love Jedi Knight. Give me more lightsaber duels and like in a modern world where it feels good. If the combat feels good in this game, it's going to be a success.
Right.
My only problem, and this is going to be a problem for any game coming up, that has anything to do with Star Wars in the near future, it's EA.
I don't think EA has anything to do with this.
Yeah, it's their game. EA.
Didn't Disney slap EA's hands after Battlefront 2 and just tell them no more for you? I thought they went to another company. I could have sworn.
They have an exclusive long-term arrangement with Disney and Lucasfilm.
Oh, yeah. EA is on there.
So, before we get our hopes up, it is Electronic Arts, a.k.a. Electronic Farts.
Always with the high-class stuff here, right?
Yes.
Oh, man. What else do we have? What else did you guys want to talk about? If we want to stick with some of the shooter stuff, let's go with this. Bungie apparently accidentally sent live a specific weapon, like a PS4 exclusive weapon, to Xbox and PC, and they're taking a little bit of heat because now they've just they're blocking Xbox and PC users from allowing them to buy it, or if they already have it, equip it.
Hmm.
So I think it was a Xur Exotic deal over the weekend, and it was obviously some sort of like mess up. It's Wave Splitter. It was made available from Xur on Xbox and PC. Bungie's community manager Cosmo wrote that we're currently working on a fix. In the meantime, Xbox and PC players who acquired the weapon will be able to use it. After the fix goes live, they will still have it in their inventories, but will not be able to equip it until this weapon enters the general exotic loot pool in September of 2019. So it's another one of this 6 month exclusive deals where, you know, and I know that was a thing. It's one of the reasons I originally started. I mean, I could have bought it over the weekend, if I could have gotten it over the weekend, I have Destiny 2 on PS4. Destiny 1 was, I got on PS4, so I kind of got the advantage of the exclusive raid, and I think it was just like a raid, and like there was a raid in a what's the weeklies, but I mean they've done this before where there's a lot of exclusive exclusive content they put out on the PlayStation, and I guess that's their deal with Sony, and that's I guess what happened here. Is they accidentally sent it live for everybody, like, oops, wrong switch. And now people are kind of getting a little upset about it. I mean, understandably.
Well, from my understanding is that Xur is a random grab bag, and somebody must have just left that on in the SQL database that they got rocking of his selection.
Is that how that works? Yeah. I know there's some
randomization.
It's not random,
it's set to spawn a set of items drawn from the random list, but available to everybody. So every time that he respawns in a new area, the list is drawn from a random pool, but it is the same list for everybody.
Right. So somebody had it on that list in general.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, somebody in the back end there must have. That must have been the only reason that came out.
Yeah. See, I'm trying to get back into Destiny 2, but I'm also trying to get back into Elite Dangerous, and those two things are both time sinks in themselves.
Yes. I've been trying to get back into Destiny myself. I got back up to 640 power since the max is 700, but there's no raid at 700, which really makes me feel sad, because I like raids.
I think you and I were talking about this the other day. I haven't done a single raid in Destiny 2.
Me neither.
Destiny 1, I think I did all but maybe one of, like, the most one or most recent, maybe one or two raids. And even then, I may have done them once or twice. But, yeah, it's just one of those things where I kind of got out of Destiny. And a lot of people are actually saying that instead of trying to push out, what is it, their fall content, because they've been doing seasons, that a lot of people are like, yeah, maybe skip the fall content and just fix your shit. Like, it's really what it's coming down to, because it does seem like every other week or so there's another, like, oh, Destiny loot's broken, Anthem loot's broken. Like,
I also, you know what it is that I really hate about Destiny, and I've put a lot of hours, and I've loved the raiding, and I've done the Last Wish several times. I was leading pugs to victory. And, like, raid leading and all that fun stuff. But, like, I hate how impossible... You guys haven't experienced this, or at least I can't imagine. And correct me if I'm wrong. But when you're trying to get above the soft cap of 500, and then it's like you have all these powerful gear drops, but, like, some powerful gear drops are no longer powerful once you hit a certain level. And then you know, and then you have to go and focus on these kind of drops first, and then do that, you know, just kind of maximize your light level gains. Otherwise, you're just wasting it. And it's like a whole bunch of just like, it just doesn't tell you straight out, hey, if you do this, you have a chance of getting a really high powerful gear or a really low powerful gear. Like, you're guaranteed to get like an improvement. Like, it's all just hidden. And you have to go, like, searching for, like, YouTube videos of some dude who's been like, yo, so I hit max power level in 3 days. Here's how you do it. And, you know, you follow him.
I mean, it's the same dilemma that I've always had with every random drop game, which, you know, back to, like, Diablo 2, even, when I was playing that. It's just, like, the drop rates on what you actually need in order to do better. I mean, they've simplified it a lot for Destiny 2, because it's just a single number, essentially. That's the difference between one thing or another. So they have the set number of items, and then they just go, okay, you're 614, this one is 617. Like, that kind of thing. Whereas, like, when I was years and years ago in Diablo 2, I was like, this super rare item has, like, 5 different stats, and each one of them can be a range of this to this. And you want to find the one that has, like, perfect stats.
Oh.
And that was always such a pain in the ass, because it's like, I have this particular build of this particular class of character, and I need this particular item once I hit this particular level, or else I'm useless. That is so much harder than with Destiny 2, where it's just like, I just need a bigger number. And that just comes from whatever specific thing you're going for. So once you kind of get a feel for what loot is going to be dropping from what particular areas or what particular bosses or whatever, it just sort of takes time to get the right thing. So it's like, oh, I don't want the burst rifle. I want the auto rifle. Okay, I'm going to do this till I get an auto rifle. That kind of thing.
Right. No, there's a bit of that, but I'm okay with that kind of like grind there too. I don't know. It was just cryptic in terms of leveling, and they're just, and it's getting worse and worse as they're compounding the
well, it kind of becomes a okay, so you can make the number higher, but then you have to make something that is worth, like, a challenge that is worth wanting to get to that higher level.
They didn't do that.
Like, I remember years ago, Borderlands 1, they came out with 4 different DLCs, and this is relevant. Each DLC raised the level cap. Originally, I think it started out at 50, then it was 60, then it was 75, and then I want to say it was like 80 or 85. And earlier in that release schedule, when Borderlands had come out and everyone was really liking it, I was talking to a friend of mine. I was like, oh yeah, it's a looter shooter. It's got a little bit of RPG element, because it does. I mean, the skill tree is very lightly RPG-esque, but it is lightly RPG. And I was talking to them there. I think they were a big WoW player. I don't remember a lot of the context of this conversation, but I remember the sentiment of, oh, you should check. I think you'd like this. Check it out. It's 4-player co-op. We could all play together. And they're like, well, what's the level cap? And I go, it's 50. It's like, it's the level cap's only 50? Like, you haven't even seen any of the gameplay, and you're scoffing about the number being so goddamn low. Like, it really, when it comes down to it, it doesn't fucking matter. The level cap could be 10. But it depends on how you progress through the levels.
Right.
And that's kind of the problem you're having with Destiny 2. Is like, oh, well, now the cap is 700. Was it? You said 700, 750. But realistically, it could be 7.5. Like, it's just... The equivalence is just in how they give you the loot and what the challenge is that puts you there. I mean, you could get really sort of grindy and be like, yeah, I'm almost at level 2. I've been playing for 3 weeks. Like, you know, it's one of those things that's always kind of blown my mind, that people are like, they assign so much value to literally just something that there's no real actual measurable scale to, as far as like something regular across games.
No, I mean, you're not wrong. It's a perception thing, too.
Yeah.
So, like, when you talk about something in American dollars versus, like, Japanese yen, you say, like, something is $100, or you say something is 10,000 yen, it just sounds better.
Oh, like, the difference in, like, a candy bar is, like, $1.50 or, like, 1,600 yen.
Yeah.
You know?
It just sounds different, and our brains think of it differently.
Mm-hmm. Well, it really gets down to the same thing with the difference between metric and freedom units.
Listen, I will die on this fucking hill. I think Imperial system makes sense because if you talk about Celsius as a way of measuring water freezing and boiling, that means absolutely nothing to the human body. That's like 0 is slightly cold and 100 is dead.
Okay, otherwise we end up with a measurement system that relies on the size of a monarch's foot.
It doesn't. So, an inch is 3 barley corns. We'll go through this one day, and I'll educate you on the imperial system. But it goes barley corns to inches to hands to feet. Then feet goes up, and then we get like hectares and acres and all that good stuff. But it's all the humble barley corn, which are uniform in size and thus very useful in measurement.
This is one of the things I like about you. You have, much like me, you have some of the most randomized, just out there knowledge for no other reason than it just has to live somewhere, so your brain is as good as anywhere.
Yep.
Barley corn.
Yep.
The barley corn.
The humble barley corn.
The humble barley corn.
Which is also my burlesque name.
That's two.
It's two different troops.
Laser balls, the barley corn.
Laser balls, the barley corn.
The humble laser ball barley corn. Yeah. I'll workshop it.
That's right. It's a process. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Just dip my balls in glitter.
And you gotta, you also gotta glue on laser pointers.
On my nipples. Yep, those are the pasties now. Boom, we got it. There's going to be a disco in my pants. Yeah, and everyone's invited.
Warning, there may be a loss of vision. And not just from the image of you.
Yes. Eye fucking.
Close your eyes. The laser pointers might get you.
Oh, Lord. What have we done?
That is going to be the most interestingly worded like waiver ever.
So how about our final episode?
Yeah, this is it. We're done here. We're not allowed to podcast anymore.
Where do we go from here? Absolutely nowhere. Well, it's been fun. It's been a good run, guys. A whole 1¾ of an episode. Good.
Good.
Good times, everybody. Thank you for the memories.
To the no one that's listened to us yet.
That's fine. We need to build up a lore. If we can get banned from Stitcher on episode 2, I'm good.
There it is. Banned. Banned material.
Jesus Christ.
So what have you guys been playing since the last time we did this? It's been about 2 weeks.
It has been, but yeah. And in all honesty, I think the idea was we were going to do a weekly release, but last week there was a scheduling snafu.
Mm-hmm. And I was dying of the plague.
Yeah, I mean that's there's always a possibility that's going to happen. Like, I mean, I think at one point the three of us are going to be at the same event, and unless one of us brings enough gear to record there,
that means that week it's just not happening.
Oh yeah, it's just that week we have to record one early and then have it in the tubes. So what we were like I was saying, Borderlands 2.
Mm-hmm.
They released the HD.
They did.
Patch for it.
HD.
So I was playing that with some friends on Saturday, and then I was also saying that I was trying to get back into Elite Dangerous because I bought that like 4 years ago, and then it's one of those things where I'll pick it up for like a week and a half, and then I'll somehow forget I own it, and then I started playing it in HD or not HD VR. And good God, it is an entirely different game in VR. I mean, with all the patches and everything too. They're on Horizons. I want to say season 3 or 4 now, and they're constantly developing improvements and you know new content, and I really enjoy that. And I enjoy the game itself. It's very much a space combat trader, you know. Mining, do whatever you want, sim. it has the same appeal for me, and this is one of those weird things where it has the same sort of weird appeal for me as like American Truck Simulator does. Because you can do the same thing. You could literally just haul shit back and forth between systems. And it's oddly calming. You throw on some music or you throw on a podcast, maybe this one, and you just while away the hours jumping between systems, dropping stuff up, and just slowly collecting money.
I mean, I could definitely see myself doing that if I had a VR setup.
You can it's not VR exclusive.
No, I know, but like the VR part probably adds to the relaxing effect.
It does, but I mean, I had the same instance with it playing non VR and playing the same thing with the American Truck Simulator. I definitely played a lot of that not VR, and had the same sort of experience. In fact, Humble Bundle, the Humble Store has a Frontier sale right now. You can get Elite Dangerous and the Horizons expansion for like $26, which is like, I don't know, I think each of them are normally 30 each.
Yeah, it's like 33% sale or something.
Yeah. Yeah, it's if it's something that you're looking to get into or if something you think you might enjoy, I'd grab it now. Absolutely just go give it. I mean, especially with Humble Bundle, like all that money ends up going good places. So go.
You could literally pay $0 to the game developers if you wanted to.
I wouldn't recommend going that far because game developers, especially game developers that make stuff that I like, I want to support.
Oh no, totally. But I'm just saying, like, it's entirely up to you who gets the money. Like, you get to choose.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the reasons why if something comes off for sale on that store, I absolutely go and I'll throw my $20 there. I'll throw my 30.
Yeah. Even if all of your 100% of your money goes to a charity, they'll take it. They don't care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, those are the games I've been playing most recently. And Borderlands VR, because I finally bit the bullet and bought that. My big complaint was that there wasn't multiplayer, and it's Borderlands 2, and what the hell? I understand why. I mean, mechanically, like just you know, as far as an engineering standpoint, it's I think having multiplayer because the way it works on PS4 is that each PS4 has to host two people, and to render that much content for two people is honestly probably beyond even a PlayStation Pro right now. At least to do it well. And if they're going to do it, I'd prefer they do it well. But what I'd like to see is have them, for them to have been using that as a test for VR multiplayer on Borderlands 3. And I'd like to see them release Borderlands 3 with a VR version that is not single player, and to release the PC version of Borderlands 2 VR with multiplayer.
Because I mean,
at that point,
that sounds
just be
like
sinking.
A lot of fun.
Yes, absolutely. But that's kind of been my concept of what they were doing with Borderlands 2 VR, is because that kind of came out of nowhere. As I think they took that and went, okay, let's work. This has been out for 3-4 years now. Let's take this. We know how to work with it. Let's see if we can get VR working in it. Let's get everything we can get functioning as much as we can. I think the bullet time they added was basically just this is going to make it easier for new players. It does kind of add a neat feature to it. And hey, sorry, we can't do VR. And like, again, I understand mechanically why they can't do that. I would rather have it, but you know, I think that may have been a lot of what it was, is they kind of got everything working and you went, oh, this is a neat experiment. Hey, why don't we release this? It's not without its flaws.
No, they've been continually trying to patch it, too.
Right. Like, two of the things I experienced, my two biggest problems was, one, when you go into your UI, you know, your backpack, your inventory, whatever, depending on how close you're standing to someone, it can clip through characters, walls, that sort of thing. So there could entirely be, like, you could be talking to Sir Hammerlock. Like, this happened to me. I was talking to Sir Hammerlock, and I was getting a gun from him as a reward, you know, as a mission reward. But I stood too close to him, and I couldn't read what either gun was because they were inside of him.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. The other problem
that sounds
is...
that sounds like a thing that Sir Hammerlock would do.
Also yes. Painful.
Pull this gun out of my anus. Please.
Quick,
someone,
my boy.
Anyone.
To anyone. No, yeah, and then the one other thing that was kind of jarring was they rendered all, you know, I mean, I say render, that they did all the game and a lot of the stuff in VR. None of the intros or cutscenes are in VR. And that can be a little jarring, especially when you're not expecting it. Like, I remember, like, Knuckle Dragger, the one bullymong that, like, right at the beginning of the game. You know, first off, the game intro is just a flat vid in, like, a void. And then you're, you know, in the 3D space, and being in the Borderlands 2 world in VR was as breathtaking as I would expect it. It was super, super cool. Like, I've had VR for over a year now, and experiences like that still never fail to, like, take my breath away. Like, that and Elite Dangerous, like, just those two things as an example. Just, it does not matter how many times I am in it, I am awed by it. Like, just straight out, I'm floored. But then you get to the point where, like, they introduce the bullymong, and I go from 3D to 2D with no warning, and then back to 3D, and I'm like, what just happened?
Yeah,
that's like really the big thing. I really wish they would have done, you know, all the intros and like the cutscenes in VR, because that is just, it's a little more jarring than I, and it's not like, I don't get simsick very easily, so it wasn't that. It's just, it was a breakup of the flow. You know what I mean?
I'm gonna have to try that, see what that looks like, because even you're describing it to me, and I don't quite understand how that works.
So, I don't know if you've used the PSVR.
I have not.
Okay, so you can play regular 2D games in the PSVR, and even actually in the Oculus, but in the VR, if you're looking at something that is meant to be flat screen style, like, you know, it is not rendered for three dimensions, you are literally just in a black void. You're in like a dark room with a simulated large screen in front of you.
Mm.
So the way Steam VR handles this, actually, because you can play a lot of non-VR games in VR, but it puts you in a virtual theater.
Yeah.
And the screen, the large screen is basically just your TV. This is kind of the same thing in PSVR, but there's no virtual theater.
Okay.
So if you turn your head, the screen stays where it is. It does have that sort of object permanence sort of thing. So it doesn't, you know, it's not like you just have, you know, a Nintendo Switch taped to your head. So no matter how you look, you're just still looking at the middle of the screen. There is some, and it's got 3D audio as well. So it's not a bad experience, but, that's what you switch into when you're watching a cutscene or, you know, the character in any sort of, you know, any sort of basically cutscene for the game.
Hmm. That's interesting. Yeah. I've only ever played VR at my brother's, and I played Robo Recall and a couple of other
Robo Recall is easily probably one of my favorite Oculus games.
Yeah.
I'm a little annoyed that it's an Oculus exclusive. Yeah, it's an Epic. It's one of the Epic games. Yeah, it's from Epic Games.
They do so much so right, and then everything else. Oh, God. How about Risk of Rain 2? Have you guys been enjoying Risk of Rain 2?
We both of us got to play together the other, was it not this past weekend, but the weekend before.
Yeah, we played for about an hour straight.
For about an hour, yeah.
I really enjoyed it. I think easy mode was a little too easy because it, like, we got to a point where we were unkillable, and, like, it's an endless mode that loops forever, and it's like, give us a break, please.
Yeah, we had kicked into, I think we had kicked into easy just because neither one of, like, I had never played in either Risk of Rain 1 or 2.
Right.
And it was really just as let's see how this goes. And
see
then,
if you like it was, learn some mechanics.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've 10 hours now under my belt, and I've unlocked most of the characters.
God damn. God damn.
Nice.
Well, then we need to get together, the three of us, and play then.
Yeah. There's absolutely a melee character, which is fucking wild.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think we both unlocked the Huntress with that.
Yeah, Huntress is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Homing arrows.
I mean, I like the little spaceman commando. He's pretty cool.
There's the commando, there's the robot, there's the Huntress, there's the engineer who has turrets, there's the veteran who has a sword, and then the last one I didn't unlock because it's got a special unlock.
Celestial portals or something like that?
The veteran is the portal.
Oh.
Like, you have to kill yourself in one of the in special portal something something, so it's like randomized.
Got it.
Yeah.
No, I think they did a beautiful job of taking the 2D experience and moving it to 3D.
Mm-hmm. I would like more variety in enemies, but that's just me.
I mean, it's an early access game.
Yeah.
So
no, totally.
So like, even for an early access game, I still feel like I got my $20 worth.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
No,
yeah,
definitely
absolutely
worth it. I mean, definitely got my $0 worth of it.
Well,
I mean, realistically, yeah. I mean, it was realistically $10 because I think we both bought we did the BOGO.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
gonna be
one,
good times.
Nice.
We're gonna play the shit out of this game and shit talk all the time.
I feel like it's something that we're gonna be able to bounce back to. I think at some point, which is good because the content will unlock and they'll do more things and we'll try different
stuff. Oh
yeah,
stuff. No, you can actually see in the game the list of things that are still blacked out because they're not implemented yet, and that's, I like that. It shows that there's a lot of room for this thing to grow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and they fixed all the weird connections. Now you could just invite your Steam friends versus having to use what is that that weird landing app that you used to have to install?
Oh, Hamachi.
Hamachi.
yeah. Log me in. Some definitely not the original concept for the use of that, but yeah, it's. I know so many people that are like, yeah, I have a Minecraft server. It's sitting in my living room. You'll have to install Hamachi, and I'll whitelist you. I'm like, ugh. Just spend the $2 a month and get like a 10 person Minecraft server. I mean, it's just that opens up a whole host of like problems. And I mean, don't get me wrong. I've done that. I was running a Galactocraft server out of a box in my house, but I also had that separately firewalled. And, you know, there was a DMZ and everything, because I work in IT, so there was a hole that was not on my internal network.
Nerd.
Yep.
You're a nerd. You're the biggest nerd out of us all. And we're pretty big nerds.
Mm-hmm. Both in nerddom and in mass.
You're not that much bigger than me. Shut up.
No, he makes me feel small. And at 6'2", that is a rare accomplishment.
Yeah, but I'm talking about girth.
Oh, I mean, the sausage competition begins.
Take that any way you want. Nobody listening to us.
I think maybe at that note, we should probably call.
Yeah, it's been about the hour. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening.
It's been an hour. We're talking about dicks now.
Oh, no. Well, I was trying to say goodbye. But all right, everybody. Thank you for listening. And I'm sorry.
we're so sorry for the last. If you're still here, I mean, congratulations. And also, thank you.
If you're still listening to this, against your will, blink 3 times.
We'll send help.
Somehow. We'll figure it out.